Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to the latest edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He's Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we talk everything related to the New York Giants. Two ways for you to interact with us on this program. You can give us a ring at 201-939-4513. You could also interact with us on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. We'll get to your calls momentarily. We will also get to your tweets throughout the course of the program. And one of the main themes we'll focus on today, obviously we're going to get into anything you want to discuss in relation to OTAs and so forth, but the linebacker position specifically, you know, who are the three that have emerged thus far to perhaps solidify starting jobs? There's a few injuries to note out of that linebacking crew. And let's start there, Paul, and then we can get into the nuts and bolts of who we think may stand out from this group. Jonathan Casillas, Tom Coughlin mentioned, did not take part in Monday's workout as a result of an injection. And Jamil McClain dealing with some type of a back issue. But John Beeson's been out there. John Beeson was very vocal with the media on Monday. You have Devon Kennard playing a versatile role in terms of where they've moved him around, as well as the newcomer JT Thomas.
You know, the thing that surprised me a little bit, to be honest with you, Lance, is that during the course of the spring OTAs and the workouts that we've seen, I haven't really gotten much of a feel for Casillas. This is a guy who came down from the Patriots as a free agent. The Giants clearly wanted him. They gave him a good contract. This is not a second thought now. This is a guy they clearly targeted because they got him early in free agency. And, you know, I know him as a nickelbacker. I know him as a special teams demon. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with him in the defense. Now, if we're to believe that Kennard and Beeson and Thomas are the three starters out of the 4-3, then what is Casillas? Is he a backup? No, I think they pursued him to be a starter, though, the way they went after him. But he's not a starter. Is he going to be the nickel linebacker? Well, I don't know, because a lot of times I'm out there looking at practice and I'm seeing them playing the nickel and dime DBs and they're giving the safeties and the corners all those extra reps. I'm not sure how they're going to use him. I'm just not. This is one of my curiosities as we end the OTAs and we get to the mini camp in a short while. And then we get into regular training camp. What exactly is Casillas going to do in this defense? Because I'm still not sure.
Well, given the injury history of the linebacking core, I mean, you can never have too much depth. Whether or not he's envisioned as a starter or a nickel linebacker, as you mentioned, I'm sure they're going to carve out a role. And I know you're talking about defense specifically, but I think Casillas holds a great amount of value as a special teams player. Because of what
no
he can
question.
Bring to the table there. And, you know, you always say to yourself, well, you're not just bringing in a free agent to play special teams. I get that. But, you know, the importance of special teams in the NFL, I think, has progressively grown to new heights, given how many games are decided with that facet of the team.
Here's the thing, though. The type of deal that they gave him and when they went after him and they corralled him from the Patriots, in other words, it didn't seem like he was an afterthought or just like, okay, we could use help on specials. We're going to add this guy. It looks as though they went after him because they had something in mind. I just haven't figured it out yet. I mean, they know. I'm sure Spags knows. I just haven't figured it out yet, and that's for me to decipher. I mean, that's why I'm here all the time, because I got to figure these things out. I'm curious, though, because, you see, as I look at, and I know what Spags' defenses are from when he was here the first time. I know how important Beeson will be, like Antonio Pierce was, you mentioned earlier, years ago. I get that. I know that he'd love to have his middle linebacker on the field for three downs. Can Beeson physically hold up for three downs every game? I don't know. He may wind up being a first and second down backer. That's possible. What I've seen during the course of these workouts, when they've gone nickel, I've seen all kinds of combinations. I've seen Kennard and Beeson. I've seen Thomas and Beeson. I've seen Thomas and Kennard. I've seen Herzlick and Kennard. I've seen all kinds of different combinations. I haven't seen Casillas much in just the two linebacker combo in the sub package, though. Maybe I just haven't noticed it, but I haven't seen it. And like I say, the combinations have been constantly rotating and revolving. Maybe they're just trying to figure out what it's going to be.
That's part of it. Yeah.
You know, because maybe they don't know exactly who's going to be where. Maybe they know what the configuration's going to be and who and what they want the thing to do, but they haven't figured out necessarily who's specifically going to do it. Maybe that's part of what we're going through here.
Well, Paul, I go back to, what was it, 2 years ago. They had six linebackers in camp, and nobody knew which three was going to start. Dan Connor was in that group,
yeah.
If you recall. It was basically flip a coin at that point. And I'm not saying that this year's group is similar to that, but you get the feel that, you're right, there's that experimentation phase still
going
on.
A lot of it looks like.
Correct. Where it's, you know, let's move this guy here, move that guy there. We're not necessarily set on where we want to put guys in
now,
the system.
There was a configuration the other day, okay, where the Giants were lined up in their sub package, and I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying this, but they took both of their linebackers, and they lined them up off the edge at the same edge. That's rather unconventional. That's not something you're usually going to see.
A new flavor.
You know? And they lined up in their set, and guess what? All of a sudden, I'm looking out there, and it's like, yeah, both linebackers lined up on the edge, on the same edge, next to each other. Almost like a double stack with receivers, in a way, but not quite. Really? I'm doing triple take. That's not something we've seen here for sure.
It takes a lot to get you to take a triple take.
I'm just saying. So yeah, there's a lot of experimentation going on. There's a lot of feeling out going on as to what all these guys are going to do. So the point that I'm going to make is, the linebacking situation here, to me, is a relative unknown at the moment, because you're not going to see these guys doing a lot of stuff you've seen them do in the last year or two. You're going to see Kennard do a lot more. You're certainly going to see him a lot more in the pass rush than you saw. I mean, we saw in December when he started doing that, he was very effective. What is Beeson's role here? He's supposed to be the leader and the captain of the defense and the guy who anchors everything from the middle. But what exactly is his role going to be? Because as you mentioned to me before the show, I asked him, you know what Antonio Pierce was. Are you going to be the Antonio Pierce of this defense? I'm not sure. I don't know. I think he can be.
From a leadership standpoint is what he was emphasizing.
Yeah,
being a vocal guy.
But can he physically be that guy who makes those plays? I don't know.
Well, that remains to be seen.
You know, because when Pierce was here, he was a lot healthier than Beeson was.
Correct.
At least for that part of his career.
It wasn't necessarily in and out of the lineup.
Right.
Thing. Well, and the other thing, and you've noted this throughout the course of this program, going back to the beginning of the year, we don't know how Spags is going to value linebackers in this scheme. I understand we always go back to the archives and we see, okay, here's
right.
Antonio Pierce. But, you know, as you noted, Paul, there's a lot of times where linebackers, all three, all four, if you run a 3-4 scheme, are not on the field as often as they were back in the day. Maybe you go to an extra defensive back. We have yet to really get a good grasp of the true identity of Spags' defense.
You know, I think what I'm really, really looking forward to, even more so than training camp, when we're going to get to start to see some of this stuff, is what they're going to do in those preseason games. This is really going to interest me a lot. And I know what they talk about, that preseason games are vanilla and that coaches don't really want to show a lot. Well, you know, it's a little different here this year. The Giants have a new but old defensive coordinator who's working with guys for the first time. The team has a bunch of new defensive players on it that, and even some of the old guys were hurt last year, so they're maybe not as familiar with things as they want to be. I think, in my mind, the Giants are going to have to start showing some stuff. I don't think they can just hold everything back and say, we're not going to show anything in preseason. I think they really got to start working on stuff.
Well, especially if you want to get a variety of players in those positions, too. You want to have them get exposure in that regard.
And see, the thing about Spags, and I want to make this very clear, folks. I know we want to get to your calls in just a second, I promise you. The thing about Spags that makes him so special in my mind, and remember now, I've been doing this a long time, and I can tell you, this is unique with him. He is so good at improvising on the fly and allowing players to have input in what it is that he does. They will draw up plays in the dirt on the sideline with Spags. He won't just dictate to them. He won't just say, we're going to do this, guys, okay? You like A or B? No, he'll actually say, okay, much like what Red Holtzman used to do with the Knicks in the early 70s. He'll come over to the bench and say, fellas, what do you got? What do you want to do?
Get feedback.
Not just feedback, flat out input. Feedback is reactionary. Input
accepting
is
the
from
feedback.
The beginning.
Yeah.
Input is from the get-go. They're a part of it. That's pretty cool. But to do that, the players and the coaches have to trust each other. They have to be on the same page. There's a lot of intangibles that have to be in place there for that to work right. And I'm very, very anxious to see if Spags can develop that with this defense sooner rather than later. And I think to start to do that, he's going to have to do that in the preseason some. Otherwise, you're going to be talking about what you talked about when he first got here in 2007, one of the first couple of games, 40-plus points, 450 yards a game. I don't want to see them do that. I'd like to see him hit the ground running against the Cowboys. I really do. I don't want to throw any mulligans to this defense. I'd like to see them get it going.
Get your feet wet in the preseason.
Anyway, let's go.
Let's get the phones. Absolutely. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. We'll get to your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. Marco in Connecticut gets us started. Marco, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Marco. What do you have for us?
I'm doing well, too. Paul, I think that last point about Spags is really important, and which may also tell us why they were prone this year to have a joint practice with Cincinnati. It's like the most live action you can get, or as close to.
Yes,
will benefit this team. Definitely.
I think you're 100% correct, and that's something that hasn't really been talked about. I mean, Coach did say it's great to get some live action so that the guys can see other people, but I also believe that gives Spags an opportunity to do whatever he can to get the most out of those reps with this defense because there's still so much unfamiliarity going on. So I think you're 100% correct.
Great. I've been listening the last couple of weeks. I haven't been able to call in. And this talk about the wide receivers, but more for me, it's more like how the roster will shake out at the end. And I know things will happen in training camp, unfortunately, with injuries. But so right now it's so hard to figure out who won't make the team or who might make the team because of injuries. But I got to think that there's going to be a position like cornerback or wide receiver where they're going to have to go thinner than we are predicting right now. The numbers aren't going to shake out at every position.
You're right.
There's going to be a position that will be a surprise to us that they only took X amount of guys.
Well, you know what? To be fair, and I'm going to let you finish here in 1 second. To be fair, we have discussed the different positions where they might skimp. Could be at linebacker keeping five. Could be at wide receiver keeping five. I don't think they're going to skimp at defensive line. I don't think they're going to skimp at defensive back. I don't think they're going to skimp at offensive line. Could they skimp at tight end? Possibly. Could they skimp at fullback? I don't think so. I think Hanoski's going to be here. But we have discussed the different possibilities. You're right. Some position's going to suffer, though.
Well, two positions that I'd like to talk specifically about then, and I'm just trying to think a little outside the box with this. What do you think about them maybe going with two tight ends? Every year now we've taken three. It's hard to tell now. McAdoo's offense will be in the second year. I think Donnell is the focal point tight end. Fans have been really excited about Lacoste, but I mean he hasn't gotten on the field. And I actually think a guy that could be with Donnell as the second tight end would be a Cunningham, because he's so versatile. And that's kind of where I'm going with this. Like, what versatility do you get at other positions that would allow them to go thinner and maybe at a position like tight end? And the reason why I said tight end was, I think Vereen and Dwayne Harris bring something different to the offense that wasn't there last year. Just want to get your input on that.
All right, I'll make this real fast, Lance. The tight end position, to me, it's dangerous to go down to two because you don't have one great all-around tight end that encompasses all the skills that a tight end needs to bring to the table. You've got Larry Donnell, who is primarily a receiving guy. You've got Daniel Fells, who's more of a blocking guy, but not necessarily considered a stud blocker. You're talking about Cunningham, more of a receiving guy. Adrian Robinson, not sure what he is, to be honest, based on his production to this point. Lacoste looks like he may have everything all around, but he's unproven. I think it's very hard to skimp down to two tight ends unless you had a Mark Bavaro type. And if you had Mark Bavaro and Dan Campbell here, okay, or Jeremy Shockey and Dan Campbell, I'd say maybe I could see it because these guys were so well-rounded in their skill set. Maybe a skimp on two. I don't think you can skimp on two given the skill sets of these guys.
Well, and Marco, the other thing I'll add to what Paul just said, with Donnell dealing with an Achilles injury right now. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to be fully healthy by training camp, but let's see how that plays out, because if he's not 100% or has an injury history that you at least need to notate when you're finalizing the 53-man roster, then the importance to keep an additional tight end obviously is key. So that is going to be another factor that at least has to enter the conversation.
Yeah, that's a great point, Lance. I'm just thinking outside the box. And before I get to my second position, Lacoste is a guy that I'm excited about in training camp, let alone he reminds me – I know you've thrown out Ballard and some other players. He reminds me of Pascoe, Bear Pascoe, because of the guy can line up and play fullback if needed. I think he did that a little bit at
Illinois. Yeah, he played H-back. Yeah, he mentioned that.
No, he played fullback.
So he was talking about – they basically threw him around everywhere in terms of his position.
I think he's a better receiver than Pascoe was.
And one more, guys. Just take some time if you can and talk about the safety and cornerback, because the safety position, and we've really gone into it all offseason, but Collins and Thompson are very young, and then obviously Cooper Taylor and Bure. I don't know how they get around not taking four. I mean, my player there that I really really love, that I was excited about, and I still am, is Bennett Jackson. And when I think about Bennett Jackson and Michael Thompson, they both have played corner before. So now if you get into the roster construction, you may be able to go a little lighter on the cornerback position because of Thompson and Jackson, what they could give you if you needed them in a pinch at corner. I know you don't want to because it's such an important position.
It is.
But what do you think about that? I'll take it off the line, off the air.
All right, Marco, appreciate the phone call.
Thank you both.
You got it.
Again, it is a very difficult dilemma. I appreciate what he's saying. It has merit. I guarantee you that will come into the equation if, in fact, Michael Thompson does make the team. You know, I mean, look, remember, he's a third-day draft choice. Those guys are not locks, but you would anticipate that he will. And Bennett Jackson, he's coming off microfracture surgery. Now, he's moving around well. And I think he's certainly going to be given a legitimate chance to compete for a roster spot. But again, nothing's been given to him either. So you're assuming that those two guys are going to make it. I can't tell you that they're both going to make it for sure.
Well, but with both of those players that were mentioned, they can also both play corner. So I think there's
helps
value
their cause.
There. And if you're going to use Marco's hypothetical, Paul, which is, you know, we've got to find the position where maybe we don't want to keep as many guys as we anticipated. You have to keep guys that can play both positions.
Yeah.
To protect yourself.
Again,
in that regard.
I think your logic is sound. Whether or not it comes to pass, look, we could talk till we're blue in the face. Ultimately, some position is going to get skimmed, and it's probably going to be because of an injury somewhere else, more so than because somebody had more talent than somebody else. There's going to be, in all likelihood, I hate to say this, but there's going to be an injury factor here that is going to force them to rob Peter to pay Paul, and some positions going to unjustifiably pay the price.
Well, and there's already injury factors that are in play that they're at least going to take into consideration. Guys who are a little bit banged up in OTAs, you're not going to throw that out of the book when you at least consider finalizing the 53. And let's go back to 2014, Paul, in terms of areas where, you know, maybe they sacrificed. Offensive lineman, they kept 10. And I assume they're going to do the same thing, given Beattie's down. You need depth there.
John was saying he thinks they're going to keep 8 offensive linemen.
I
told him there's no way. There's no way they're keeping less than 9.
I can't.
No way.
I would pencil in 10. I'm going to go based on.
You're going 10.
I'm going right now. I'm going based on.
I'm going 9 on the offensive line because, you see, I'm going to go extra heavy on the defensive line. I think they got too much talent on the defensive line, but that may not be a luxury they can afford.
Because of the injuries and everything else that you take into consideration. They kept last year 10 defensive linemen. So they kept 10 offensive linemen and 10 defensive linemen. Yeah. And I could very well see that happening again.
Right.
I would not be surprised. If you want to then go to the rest of the defense, 6 linebackers, and they kept 9 defensive backs in total. That's safeties and corners combined. We're not necessarily dividing the two categories.
You'd like to go 10 if you can on the DBs.
Of course.
If you can.
If you can, but the fact that we're mentioning a few guys could play corner and safety.
Again, if they make the team.
Of course. They have to make the team.
They got to make the team.
On offense, okay, QB's 2, that's not a surprise. Running back's 3, not a surprise. 1 fullback, 6 wide receivers, which there's certainly 6 right now that you could easily pencil in making this roster. You don't have to stretch to get 6.
Okay, look at the linebackers now.
Well, linebackers there are 6.
Oh, you said 6
yeah,
already?
Yeah, we said okay. Linebackers 6. Then 3 for the tight ends, and then, as I mentioned, 10 offensive linemen. If anything, if you're going to put the offense up on the wall right now, and you want me to sacrifice a position,
okay,
I'm going wide receiver. That would be my first position to sacrifice because of the depth and confidence that the 5 that you're going to keep, there's enough versatility there. That would be my first. After that, mm-hmm. I'd probably go to offensive line, meaning I'd be willing to get it down to 9, depending on how everybody plays and progresses during the course of training camp, too. You know, that's my little caveat.
No doubt. No doubt. I am going with 9 offensive linemen, but I understand your feelings on that. You know, the thing that troubles me right now a little bit is that you don't know exactly where Victor Cruz is going to be. And
fair.
So, you know, if he's PUP, well, then obviously he doesn't count on the 53, and you can keep 6 wide receivers and not worry about counting him. Same thing with Will Beatty. Will Beatty, I suspect, is going to go PUP, or he's going to wind up on that temporary IR list. Or maybe, for all we know, who knows how he's going to rehab. He might be on IR for the season.
Correct.
He may not even be available for the 53 at all.
Well, the question is, do you want to waste the guy to designate to return on a player who may not even return?
I don't think so.
I would hold that in case somebody else
so
gets
would
hurt,
I.
like a Jeff Schwartz or something last season.
So would I.
Yeah.
I'm inclined not to use that on him. So I would be inclined to put him on PUP and then see what happens when he's ready to come off. And then if he can't help you at that point or there's no need for him, then just put him on IR for the year. And then you don't deal with him as far as your 53. But those are two guys you know going into opening day, you have to figure out what you're going to do about them. So there's already an injury complication that plays into this equation. And that's before they even get out there for training camp. And we find out, how's John Beeson doing? How's Larry Donnell's Achilles doing? How's Nat Burhey's calf doing? How is Odell Beckham's hamstring doing?
Number of factors already.
How is DeMontre Moore's shoulder doing?
That's another one. McClain's back. Because he is, the list goes on and on. And not to necessarily hit the panic button right now, but there are a number of injuries to note, whether they be serious or not, that have piled up over the course of OTAs. You need to take this all into consideration.
And you know what? I tell people all the time that there are only 2 times during the year where injuries are even worse than other times. Because injuries are always bad. Tom Coughlin will never, ever, ever, ever smile at an injury. I mean, nobody does. But he hates them, of course. But the 2 times when they're the worst is playoffs, okay, when you're in crunch time, going into the playoff run, or at the end of training camp when you're trying to get to your 53. Those are the 2 times when injuries are like 10 times worse because they mess with your configuration.
Because there are certain players you were banking on having on the 53. Now you don't know what to do with
it. And you have to make decisions that may wind up having ramifications for the whole season.
Well, look at last season. We'll get back to your phone calls momentarily. Last season, think about some of the injuries that the Giants were dealing with, Paul, when they had to finalize the roster. Mario Manningham, remember?
Yeah.
Then you had Marcus Harris, was another one after a very productive preseason, and Trendon Holiday. Now, Holiday barely got on the field because of the hamstring injury, but he was another one. They brought in via free agency. Maybe we have a role for him. Those are 3 players of note that you didn't necessarily know what you were going to do with.
And, you know, there was a player they brought in during the rookie free agent period, a tight end, Xavier Grimble from USC, who, by the way, a lot of people thought could be a potential dark horse for this team. But what happened? He got here, immediately injured, was unable to do anything at training camp, and got cut early because coach said, I can't get him on the field. And this is a guy they wanted to see. They wanted to see, what can he do? Maybe he can help us. Guess what? You couldn't see him. So he was a washout.
And you have to anticipate sometimes those things playing out. 201-939-4513. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. He's Baldettino. I'm Lance Meadow. Vic is in Florida. Vic, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Lance, and good afternoon, Lance, and good afternoon, Paul. How are you guys doing this
Hi.
Morning?
Doing well, Vic. How's everything with you?
Okay, not too bad. I got a couple of questions I want to ask. Let's say, for instance, I can't believe the injuries that are bugging the Giants. I mean, even during the season, it seems to me like the Giants are always in the top of the league, in leagues, with the most injuries. What do we got? The jinx or something? I don't understand. But anyway, that's another story. This is for Paul. If Beeson would get hurt, let's say,
yes.
Okay, who would fit in that category?
Well, at the moment, Jameel McClain would be the lead candidate to be the Giants' middle linebacker. However, it is not out of the question that Devon Kennard could do that. I think he's got the skill set. It's also not out of the question that JT Thomas could even do it because he did some inside linebacker stuff with the Jaguars. The Giants haven't figured that out yet. But I would think that those two guys would get the first shot. I don't think you're going to see Herzlich in the middle anymore because he proved over the early part of his career that he was most productive when he played in the defense as an outside backer as opposed to being in the middle.
Okay. Now, my second question to you is regarding the upcoming minicamp for the vets and the rookies.
Yes.
Is JPP going to show up, or do you guys know?
Yeah, JPP at this point has not signed his franchise tender, which means he cannot participate on the field in any activities whatsoever. Okay? Coughlin says he's been in communication with him, and he expects him to be here when the mandatory minicamp begins next week. That's what we're going off of. Now, he can show up to the mandatory minicamp, but he can't get on the field unless he signs the tender or signs an injury waiver. So just because he's here and is present, which he can do, that doesn't mean he's going to be on the field.
Got you. I understand. Now, I have one more question for you, Paul, or Lance, either one. I guess I've been following football now for over 50-something years. I'm old school like you, Paul. And now, Corey Washington has been getting some print the last couple of days because he's been doing pretty good. What does Coughlin want him to do as far as special teams? Explain to me what the special teams are. That I don't understand because is it running back the ball or is it blocking for the runner or what is it?
You want to take it?
What does Coughlin expect Washington to do?
Well, I'd say it's a combination of factors. You know, you're talking about when the Giants are returning the ball, but also in terms of coverage, too, is an important aspect of any special teams player. So it's a variety of skill sets that you have to have when you play special teams. You need to have the speed. You need to be able to get through traffic. You need to be able to block. You need to be able to fight through tackles. I mean, it's a number of different things. It's not – when you play special teams, it's not just one facet of your game that you can get away with just all of a sudden getting by. You have to have a variety of skill sets. And, I mean, clearly Washington's got the size. You know, he's got somewhat of the speed. But sometimes it's the mindset and being able to apply that every single day consistently. You know, some guys flash on special teams, Vic. You know, they have good days, they have bad days. When it comes to him, I think it's also more continuity, more consistency in terms of his production.
I think if you want to narrow down the specific duties that Coughlin wants him to do on specials, it would be on the kick coverage unit because they used him several times during the preseason last year on the kick coverage unit, specifically on punt coverage. and kickoff coverage. And what you would see, okay, is that when those guys are taking off down the sidelines outside the numbers, you want to see them going all out, sprinting downfield, and you want to see them, if not make the tackle, you want to see them be one of the first guys down
there
to try to funnel the guy into your tackler if you're not going to make the tackle. That's what you want to see from Corey Washington. And if you watched him last year when he was on special teams, he wasn't consistent enough in doing that. He'd be on the unit, he'd run downfield, and he would not necessarily be a factor in the play. That's what Coughlin wants to see from him. When he says special teams, he's not talking about Corey Washington returning the ball. He's not even necessarily saying Corey Washington's got to make the tackle. He just wants to see him impact the play and be around the ball.
Okay, now, is it in fact that maybe he doesn't like to play special teams or something? I mean, there's got to be something along the line.
Vic, you have to understand special teams is a mindset. You have to want to do it. You have to be eager to do it. You have to be aggressive in doing it. David Tyree was a great example of a guy who really made the most out of his opportunities on special teams when, you know, what was he? He was a backup wide receiver, but an all-pro on special teams. What was Dominic Hixon? An outstanding special teams player who was a terrific receiver in college, but made his way into the league as a special teamer, although he was a return guy too, not just a gunner. You know, that's the template for Corey Washington.
So the bottom line, you got to hit somebody. That's the name of the game.
Well, again, it's not necessarily hit and make the tackle. Get down
there,
hustle,
and
be consistent.
That's the key.
Be around the play. Have an impact.
Okay.
Funnel that guy, that return guy, into – I want to funnel the return guy into Lance so Lance can make the tackle.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. You did a good job, doing a good job. Love you both.
Appreciate it.
I'll chat with you again tomorrow maybe.
All right, Vic. Thanks for the phone call. One of the parallels I was going to bring up to the point that you were making about how you have to want to play special teams in basketball, you know, defense. You have to want to play defense.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair
and rebound.
Comparison. And rebound. You know, some of the little things, the intangibles that you have to desire, you have to show the extra effort.
And height.
Well, height would help, too. You know, small guys, you know, we can get a little tough, too. I've been known for squeezing in an offensive board or two. That's all other topic. But you have to want, just like special teams. And you want to also be consistent. And that's why, you know, when Vic asked the question, you have to have this type of platform when you play special teams. You can't have the ups and downs. Because once you do that, you become an unreliable player. And then that's how the big play gets given up, and all of a sudden you cost your team points in field position.
And momentum.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There are two plays in football that can change the momentum in a heartbeat. And it's not just a bomb. It's not just a big run. No, 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 no. The two plays that can really change the momentum of a game, a big play on specials, or in some cases, the busted play on your coverage unit on specials, okay? And then the other one's the turnover. Those are the two things, more than anything else, that really tilt the flow of a game.
You put your offense or your defense in a precarious situation. Let's get to a few tweets here before we head back to the lines. I know a number of you weighing in on the linebacker topic, who you may have to sacrifice to make the final roster. Nikki C. at Quick 32, who would be the five wide receivers? He starts to speculate. Beckham, Cruz, if he's not on PUP, as you had mentioned, Randall, Harris, Parker, or Davis, then he is throwing out. So he put six out there. I wasn't necessarily, to be honest, putting necessarily Davis in that grouping. I think Davis has a legitimate shot because of his special teams versatility, but you know, you also need to consider Corey Washington based on how he's played in OTAs.
Yep.
And he's not listed on this group. I see it, Paul, and I'm curious your thoughts. Beckham, Cruz, Randall, I'm penciling in as my top three. Then I have Dwayne Harris as my fourth guy.
Yeah.
So then it becomes the battle of four to take potentially two spots. Marcus Harris, Preston Parker, Corey Washington, and then you throw Davis in the mix too. That's at least how I see the depth chart as it stands right now. Things could drastically change, though.
I don't think there's any question about that, Lance. And again, we're trying to figure out, are they even going to have the luxury of keeping six? And what if Cruz starts on PUP? Well, then guess what? Then they're actually going to keep six on the 53,
oh,
and then Cruz is the seventh
else.
on the PUP,
yeah.
You know, as part of the 53. You know, The one thing that we talked about the receivers yesterday with John quite a bit, so I don't want to spend too much time there unless you guys still want to talk about it. The one thing that I really want to remind folks about is that no matter what you see during the course of the preseason games, like Corey Washington started last year, a couple of years ago, remember David Douglas?
Yeah.
Was a really good preseason wide receiver. It's a lot of the stuff that you don't see that also impacts if the guy makes the 53. What is he doing at practice every day, which you don't see if you're just watching the preseason games? What is he doing on specials, which a lot of people, again, don't pay attention to? Or if they're watching or they're seeing the game, you can't see on the TV screen what all the different guys are doing on specials all the time. So those are other factors that come into this. So don't just look at the preseason stats and say, oh, guess what? Preston Parker caught 13 passes for 156 yards and two touchdowns. He's automatically on the team. Well, that's going to help him a whole lot. But, you know, David Douglas had that one good preseason a couple of years ago, and what happened to him? He got cut. You know, there are other things involved here. And make sure that you're aware of that as you try to figure out who's going to make it.
Well, and I'll throw out a player on defense. He actually wound up making the team, but the longevity wasn't here. Adewale Ajomo. You know, it was the other things, yeah. Paul, in addition to what you could do to get to the quarterback.
I'll give you one more that really is interesting because it made us all look foolish last year. Odonije had a terrific preseason at defensive line for the Giants. Remember, they brought him out of retirement,
every game. Yeah.
Played for the Bears.
Yeah.
Giants picked him up going into training camp a week or so in. Had a really good preseason. Each preseason game, he was more productive. He was better and better and better. The last two preseason games, he was really good. And it was like, well, he's on. He's making the team. Kerry Wynn? Come on. Where's his stats during
Quiet,
the preseason?
Not necessarily a guy that jumps off the
page. Hasn't stuck out at you at all. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The personnel department and the coaching staff saw something on Kerry Wynn's grade sheet, as well as the fact that he was a young rookie coming in, and they must have seen a ton of upside with him. They decided that Odonije was going to get cut in the last cut, and Kerry Wynn was going to make the 53. Shocked everybody in this room and everybody that I know, media-wise. I don't know how many fans or media people actually thought Kerry Wynn was going to make the 53. But who's got the last laugh? You look at what happened during the season. By the time they got around to Thanksgiving in December, Kerry Wynn was getting to be a part of that rotation, and he was showing flashes like this guy's going to be a good player. And Odonije never got picked up, I don't think, by anybody. And I think he's retired.
I believe so. I don't remember him getting picked up by anybody either.
So who's better off now? And I'm look, we spoke about it when the 53 was finalized last year. How does Odonije not make this team? How does Kerry Wynn make this team? The Giants apparently were right.
The things that you see, not necessarily during a preseason game, behind closed doors, those type of elements always play a role in whether or not a guy can make the roster. Let's head back to the lines. We'll get to more of your tweets. Andrew is in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, you're right. With Spags' defense, it took a couple weeks. It was disastrous the first 2 weeks, but there was a few factors, not just learning the defense, the new defense, which is the main factor, but also the competition. They played the Cowboys, the Packers. And that year, 2007, those were two of the best offenses in the NFL. I think, two really good playoff teams. And also, Strahan didn't attend training camp. He held out. So he got his legs under him, you know, a few weeks into it. So anyway, I knew they were going to turn it around. So it won't take too long. And there's a lot of veterans, like you guys said. But I wanted to ask... special teams, Lance, I'm glad Paul is here because I have some old school comments. Lance, does remember Renee Thomas? Remember him?
Renee Thompson.
Thompson, yeah. Right.
When they picked up Renee Thompson, free agent from the Dolphins, he was a corner by trade who was not very good in coverage, but was a Pro Bowl special teams demon. He made the Pro Bowl for the Giants in 90 as a special teams guy.
Right, and another old-school comment, which I'm going to tie today to the linebacker, defensive tackle Eric Howard, nose tackle, and linebacker Jaquan Williams. Without the two of them, we would not have the two Super Bowls in 2011 and in 1990. It was so similar. The 49ers had the ball, and they had, you know, about a minute and a half or 2 minutes.
Yeah, Eric Howard forced the Roger Craig fumble that LT recovered. Yeah, they could have run out the clock. And, yeah, that turnover was huge, and Jaquan Williams forced the kick-returning fumble by Williams out in San Francisco.
See, Paul knows, and I want to say great Giant, both great, and I miss Jaquan. I give my props and a tribute to him, and I remember it like it was yesterday, the play. And I loved my wife watching it, plus watching on Giants.com the highlights. I videotaped her. She was, like, enthralled. So I just want to say a tribute to Jaquan Williams, and if you guys want to answer off the air, the new linebacker, I forget his name, but that they signed in place of him, how is his injury history? And Herzog looks good, like covering tight ends, that he's tall and fast enough to cover the tight end.
Well, Andrew, who are you referring to before we let you go? When you say a new linebacker, they brought in Casillas, they brought in JT Thomas.
Yeah, that's it, JT Thomas. But both, you could talk about their injury history.
Okay. Well, appreciate the phone call, Andrew.
Thank you.
In terms of Casillas, I mean, obviously he got an injection based on what Tom Coughlin mentioned on Monday. I wouldn't necessarily hit the panic button based on his injury history. And with JT Thomas, Thomas got the start last year once Paul Posluszny went down, and I don't believe Thomas wound up missing a game. So he's been pretty durable, at least in the short term. Nothing all of a sudden raises any red flags or alarms in terms of their injury histories. Mm-hmm. So they should be in good shape with respect to that. And obviously there's opportunity for both players. Let's head back to the lines. Dave is in Philly. Dave, what's happening?
That was Dave.
Well, that was Andrew in New Jersey. We're falling asleep at the controls here. Dave, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, Dave. What's happening? We hear you loud and clear. Yeah. Dave, can you do me a favor before you start
James.
Continuing? Dave, can you lower your computer? Because we're getting some feedback.
Yeah, it's James.
James, okay, James. So what
Hello.
Do you have for us?
Yeah.
How we doing?
Hey, how you doing? How you
Hi.
Doing?
Do well.
Oh, man, I had so many topics. I kind of forgot what I was calling for, but I know which one I do want to touch on. Far as the linemen, the rookie they picked up this year, I think in the 7th or 8th round. I mean, I know, Paul, you've been at the practices. Have he been doing anything, standing out at all? And he used to play, I think he played tackle for Florida State, and they're moving him in as a guard.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We talked to the Miami Hurricanes radio fella, and I'm forgetting his name now. Anita and I had him on a couple of weeks ago. Oh, I'm forgetting his name. But he was talking about the lineman. And why am I drawing a blank? Bobby Hart. He was talking about Bobby Hart. And he was really said, hey, the Giants really got a player here. Because this guy started a ton of games at Florida State, plenty of Division I experience at the very highest of levels, and he's a real scrapper. Really, really liked him a lot, but also because of his lack of athleticism, said he'd be better off at guard, which is where the Giants are moving him to. From tackle, they're moving him to guard. Now, to this point, again, no contact, so it's very hard to really grade a lineman right now when they're not allowed to bang people. But what I would say is, he is more of the Kevin Booth style of guard than he is, another style. Well, he's got a big base. He's a wide body. Yeah. He's thick. He's large. He's a plotter. You know, that's the kind of lineman that he is. But I can't tell you about his power or his ability to hold a block or to move a guy backwards because they're not allowed to hit yet.
That's true. That's true. And I wanted to hit on with the tight ends. I mean, it's just my thing, and I don't know if they'll ever do it or anything like that. But we're looking for tight ends to become better boxers. Like Larry Darnell was a big body guy. This new guy, I think it was Cunningham.
Yeah.
He's a big strong type of guy. But their blocking skills would be so bad. Do you think they would take these guys and let them practice with the offensive linemen so they can get their blocking skills down and show how to block, how to drive, how to move your feet, how to use your hands or whatever. And just to get their, you know, they already proven pass catchers. They can just practice with the linemen and trying to tighten their skills up at blocking, drive blocking or whatever. What do you think about that?
Well, there's a lot of work that's done between positions, you know, especially when they scrimmage. It's not like the tight ends go in their corner, James, and the offensive linemen are on the other side of the field, and they can never interact. Coaching staffs talk with one another. Positional players talk with different positional coaches. So there is that interaction. But, you know, it gets back to what Paul was talking about with respect to Corey Washington and special teams.
By the way, Don Bailey Jr. was the radio analyst for the Hurricanes.
Gotcha.
I don't want to cheat him because he was really good to us.
In terms of when he was on a few weeks
ago. Yeah, talking about the linemen.
But, James, getting back to the point is, you know, blocking is one of those things you have to want to do it, especially if you're a tight end that comes from a background where you've been mainly used as a wide receiver or a guy that has been showcased because of his hands. You have to want to learn how to block. You have to want to do that, regardless of the teachers, regardless of the coaching that is around you. It comes from the inner drive of the player. So, you know, you could tell me, hey, they got to throw these guys into this room. They got to stuff this down their throats in terms of the X's and O's of blocking. Player has to want to do it at the end of the day.
That's true. That is true. That they got to want to get dirty and get nasty and get down there with the big boys. Well, that's right. And one other thing, on Anderson, how is his injury coming along? I think he is a very good defensive end. That's why I don't see how people call in and talk about our line, our defense is just going to be weak or we're not going to be able to do this and that. I think we have a very good defensive team and offensive team, actually. But I just want to know how Anderson's injury was coming along.
Well, last check, and appreciate the phone call, James. Thanks so much for weighing in. Tom Coughlin mentioned the ankle is still swollen, so they're just continuing treatment and hoping that it gets to a level where by the time training camp comes along, he should be ready to go.
I didn't get the sense that it was that serious, but you know, again, we haven't been able to see him out on the practice field either.
So right now it's a matter of just getting continuous treatment, and hopefully, like I said, he'll be out there for training camp. On the topic of tight ends, on Twitter, Big-07088 at ColeWiss88, who is Will Tye been asking, and can he be a fullback? Now, Tye is the tight end out of Stony Brook. He's about 6'2", so he's got some size. He's on the back end of the depth chart because there are a number of guys that were brought in playing fullback. Well, first of all, Paul, let me preface it by saying I don't really know if anybody at this point has enough versatility to kick out Henry Heinoski as an all-around type of fullback.
That's going to be a very tall order. And then second of all, before you even go any further, Lance, these are non-contact drills. How are you going to wrestle the fullback job away from Heinoski when you can't hit anybody?
Good point. That's very true. It's the same thing when people call in and ask, how does this offensive lineman look? Well, he's only staring at the defensive lineman at this point. There's only so much he can evaluate.
The thing about Ty, and I'm glad you brought him up because I've had a lot of people actually question me about him, maybe because of the local connection. To me, he's way on the back end of the tight end depth chart. You know, you look at the guys like Cunningham and Lacoste who are ahead of him. Certainly the holdovers, Fells and Robinson. We know Larry Donnell is here. It's very hard for me right now to believe that somebody like that, who is so far down, is going to be able to make an impact at the tight end position where I think the Giants are only going to keep three. It's not like a wide receiver, they may keep six. They only keep three tight ends, in at least in my mind. It's going to be hard for him to climb those stairs. Now, can it be done? Absolutely. But it's going to happen more when they start to hit as opposed to now. Not that these things aren't important, because these days are important. Don't ever misunderstand. You know how I always tell you, Tom Coughlin evaluates everything. But you're really going to make your move, kind of like a horse race. You know, you make that move around the last turn coming into the stretch.
Down the stretch.
If you're going to make a move for a roster spot, it's going to be coming in the latter stages of training camp into that second and third preseason game. That's when guys are going to start making their move if they're going to steal a spot.
It's a matter of pacing right now, and then all of a sudden you...
No, it's not pacing.
Well, I'm not saying you get away with
doing
nothing.
You've got to give it all.
But I'm saying you maybe put it into an extra drive, especially, who knows, as you mentioned, somebody gets hurt who's ahead of you in the depth chart, Paul, then all of a sudden you have a little bit added ammunition.
No doubt.
To step up your game.
Yeah, make sure you get out on that field as much as possible. If you're a guy like him in his situation, boy, the more snaps you get, the better.
Brandon is in New Jersey. Brandon, what's happening?
Hey, from there.
How are we doing, Brandon? What's happening? What do you got?
Hey, man, I always call up. I had got into it. Well, not got into it, but They finally got it right, man. They finally got the offensive line right in my mind. Because I was screaming, if y'all know, and I was telling Paul that they should have put Jeff Schwartz at the right guard and move Pew to the left guard and put Rich Bird at center.
I think we've agreed on that point for quite a while.
So they finally got that right.
Yes,
and
they did.
I believe Newhouse is going to do a good job out there at right tackle. And I think the Giants is going to get Flowers ready enough for the season to be all right at left tackle. So I think I believe they need to leave it like that and don't because I heard Kaufman was saying like he's going to try different combinations. That's not how you build the offensive line to gel. I mean, we don't want to go through that. Let's know who the five guys are already going into training camp, and let's see how they do throughout the training camp and preseason. I believe that five is set. And I want to know what position do they have Cooper Teller playing? He's playing strong safety. I believe they got Collins at free safety right now, right?
Well, they're both flip-flopping a lot and trying to learn both spots. I've seen Collins go deeper. I've seen him also come in the box. Same thing with Cooper Teller. They're very, very animate at the moment about everybody learning both spots at that safety position, and then they'll start tailoring the position a little bit more to your skill set once they decide who's going to be doing what. They haven't gotten there yet. This is still a seek and search mission.
More of a left and right type of situation, to answer your question, Brandon, in terms of safeties as opposed to strong versus free. Now, guys are flip-flopping, as Paul mentioned, because unlike the offensive line point that you brought up, I think this is the key experimental phase where you should mix and match safeties to determine who's comfortable where.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But Cooper, he's bigger than Collins, right?
Yeah. He's bigger than Collins in terms of, you know, height stature, but not in terms of bulk. I don't have the weights handy. What
right
are the weights?
Taylor's 6'4", 228.
Right.
Collins is 6', 225.
See, in terms of bulk, it's quite clear when you look at the two of them. You know, Cooper Teller looks more like a safety, and Collins looks more like maybe even a linebacker almost. You know, he's got bulk on him. Mm. He's got some thickness.
Okay.
Cooper Taylor's lost some weight, by the way,
this year. I like what Coffin put out there for the five. I like that five right there. And a lot of people were saying Beattie wasn't really an elite left tackle. I won't say all of that because he our guy. But I think Flowers is going to fill in nicely.
Well, let's see.
Well, the opportunity is there, Brandon, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
One comment about his offensive line situation. Yes, I get it. I understand what you're talking about. Chemistry is very important to develop on that O-line as soon as possible. But here's the thing. The Giants truly don't know who their best five are right now, Lance. And they've got to experiment now because this is the time you start to find those things out. You don't wait till September to find out, oh, guess what? He can't do this. He can't do this. We got to switch them up. No. Do that now. You know, mess with the chemistry now because by the time you get to the preseason or midway through the preseason, that's when you're going to have to get that luxury, or not luxury, but you're going to have to get that chemistry down going into the first game. Right now, the Giants don't have the luxury of understanding what each one of these guys can do. They don't know who their best five are yet.
There's a number of young guys. There's guys coming back from injuries. That's why you should mix and match. I mean, I agree with Brandon's point that for the sake of continuity, by the time you get towards the end of the preseason, beginning of the regular season,
you certainly do.
But right now, you know, and this was a topic I was having when we were trying to determine, is Flowers going to be a starter? Is he going to be a bench guy? There is no added benefit, Paul, to write out a depth chart for any position and to say, this is going to be our group.
No.
You don't gain anything at the beginning of June by doing that.
Look, Lance.
Nothing at all.
The bottom line is, this team is not strong enough at every position where they can even think about doing that. They've got a lot of competition going on at a lot of spots, and they should.
Absolutely.
They haven't made the playoffs in the last 2 years.
That's how you become a better team, when you have positions up for grabs. And you see that at the offensive line. You see that at the safety spot. You see that on the back end of the wide receiver depth chart. Pretty much all around linebackers, there's open opportunities. I mean, we could give you a laundry list in terms of players who are on the depth chart in terms of backups or at least penciled in as starters, nobody's safe at this point.
No.
Because anybody can make a jump at any given moment. Number of tweets we're getting in on a variety of topics. Want to certainly throw things out there. Big Dash 07088 following up on the Will Tye question. But this gets back to, I don't think they're going to have the luxury to keep two fullbacks. He points out Tye could be a good backup to Heinoski given Heinoski's health issues. But once again, they're not keeping two fullbacks.
Don't see it.
They do not have that luxury. I'd be stunned if that happens. Let's take a look at some other tweets that are related to the topic at hand. I know there was a question about Victor Cruz I wanted to get to. Tom, at Tom Krzbalinski, any report on Cruz's stop-start speed yet, or is that an in-pads thing?
You know, to this point, we have seen Cruz run a lot of straight routes. We've seen him doing some curls. We've seen him doing some square ins and square outs. We have seen him do some hesitation moves, but it's all been ghost routes. Shirts, shorts, not going against anybody. Again, they're being very cautious with him. No sense in pushing it. No sense in rushing it. There's been nobody going up against him, and there's been no pads. And that's the way it's going to be, at least for now. That's it.
It's the very early stages, but you could bring up the point that he is making progress on
his
own type of schedule.
Clearly.
Which at least is something to have hope about, that he could perhaps get out there by the middle of training camp or so forth, depending on how his progress continues. Let's take a look at some other tweets here. This is really jumping the gun. I'll throw it out there. I don't know if you want to speculate to this degree, Paul. Nicholas Megna at Nico12561. Who would be your surprise cut when the Giants reach their final roster?
I don't have one.
That's
right now.
That's a tough one right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
On June 10th? I can't even think of one right now. On June 10th? No. It would be very, very difficult to come up with one today. And part of the reason is, again, I hate to say this word, but the injury factor is going to be part of that situation, because there may be somebody who gets nicked up who winds up having to get cut because they can't afford to carry him on the roster.
I mean, in terms of...
Heck, I wanted Mario Manningham to make it last year, and his knee just didn't respond enough.
That's why we brought him up earlier in the show. Sometimes it happens right as you're making the cut, Paul. Something all of a sudden flares up.
You know, his knee just never responded. And through training camp, it was an uphill battle. You kept saying, boy, he's running out of time. Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? It never happened, and he got cut. The hope was the knee was going to be good enough, and he'd be one of the guys to stick. Didn't happen.
And the other thing related to that question, I agree with you. I think it's very early. You know, when you say a surprise, are we talking about a starter? Are we talking about a back end of the depth chart type of player? Because you can have a surprise on many fronts.
Sure.
So it's very difficult at this point to really create a...
I know we're running out of time, but as we were playing the preseason last August, I told you just earlier in the show, Adonijé. That was a surprise cut to me.
Based on how we performed, yeah.
You know, at that time, that was a surprise cut. So.
Absolutely. I'm just taking a look at perhaps one or... two last tweets here related to the topics at hand. Ricker81 at D_Ricker81. You may be able to skim on the offensive line when we were talking about where you could sacrifice a player, because Beattie will be returning, still a question mark, and the overall offensive line talent that will actually dress for a game. He's bringing up the point.
Well, John and I mentioned this yesterday, and part of the problem is that when the caller had said, well, you have one or two offensive linemen that doesn't dress on Sunday anyway. Well, the comeback to that is, that's not who's by choice. Sometimes you got the inactive guys on Sunday who don't get a jersey because they're dinged. I mean, they're not just scratching a healthy offensive lineman sometimes for the sake of scratching them. They're scratching him because he can't play.
Banged so up. So there's a number of different factors.
You know, to me, there's no way they're going in with less than 9 offensive linemen. Again, John was talking about 8 yesterday. I say no way they're going less than 9. You want to go 10.
I'd rather be safe at that position.
I got
you. At least as it stands right now. Once again, if health and durability prove to be thumbs up, training camp, then perhaps you rethink that.
How about flat out? Are there 9 guys or are there 10 guys that deserve spots on the 53?
Well, right now, I'd say it's extremely premature to go
in that
direction. We don't know. Guys haven't put on pads, especially at that position.
Maybe they can't find the 10th guy who belongs.
And if they can't, then I would say you don't keep a 10th guy just for the sake of keeping a 10th
guy.
I would agree with you.
Exactly.
But let's see what progresses over the next few weeks before we make assumptions like that.
Okay.
So, good dialogue, variety of different topics that we covered over the course of the last 60 minutes. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday here at noon Eastern. For Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. One last.
See you soon.
That's right. Well said. Adios. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.